Word of mouth.
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 Word of
mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. What is your impression of a place as defined by its role in film and TV? Would residents of Albuquerque, New Mexico say AMC's Breaking Bad paints an accurate portrait of their city? Is Chicago native David Mamet's 2000 film State in Maine truly a film about Mainers, given it was filmed entirely in Massachusetts? When people talk about shopping local, they're usually referring to buying food, books, clothes. So what does it mean to be a patron of local cinema? To support films that not only capture the spirit of a place, but contribute to the economic and social fabric of that same setting. Jay Craven is a professor of film studies at Marlborough College in Vermont and the filmmaker behind Disappearances, Northern Borders, and a number of other films. He sat down with Virginia Prescott to discuss the power of what he calls place-based indigenous cinema.
Jay, a lot of people go to the movies to escape from their daily life, and that includes where they live. What makes you think that there's a demand for regional filmmaking?
Well, partly because there's not a whole lot of it, and I think that people do exist within a cultural framework that includes narrative. Certainly, we all think of our own stories, and many of those stories are very much related to place. And, you know, my experience has been that working with stories that are rooted in our place resonates in a way that really commercial media and movies in general do not, which isn't to say that I don't enjoy going to the movies as much as everybody else. I see a lot of movies because I teach film and I've got two boys that I've raised, and movies were always part of our routine. But a story that really is rooted in character and place resonates in a different way, partly because if it's a good film, it brings fresh perspective to the place that we live and stimulates us to think about it in other ways, ways that add dimension. There's a danger, in fact, that we begin to perceive where we live according to the stereotypes that are associated with it, that are actually imposed sort of externally. By creating our own narratives, we sort of take control of our own narrative and our own perception of place.
What does a regionally produced film offer that a blockbuster cannot?
Well, I think, you know, intimate specificity of place is part of that, and more nuanced character is another part of it. I mean, I recently watched a new film, The Butler, which I thought was well made in many ways, although I was a little bit discouraged later to hear that, you know, some of the big dramatic events in the story were not true, even though the film opens with a credit saying that it was based on a true story. I felt that, you know, the filmmaker would have been, in my opinion, on more solid ground if he'd taken some risks in looking to the actual history, which might not be as dramatic, but might, in fact, inform detail of character. So I don't know. I mean, the blockbuster creates a sensation, and I think largely it is a sensational experience. I think that, you know, when we read literature and when we see what I would call cultural film as opposed to commercial film, we can delve into the more complicated, nuanced, dimensional detail of story, of character, and of place.
Let's talk about the sensation and sense of place in your films. You've made five films now based on novels by the Northeast Kingdom writer Howard Frank Mosher. So talk about a little about the role of Vermont as a setting and a sort of character of its own in his books, and how you create that sense of place on film.
Well, part of what has always appealed to me about Mosher's work is that it is not strictly a literal treatment of Vermont as place or an ultra-realistic portrait. I mean, the characters are a bit larger than life, frequently, although there are elements of realism that are made a part of it. And in some ways, there are mythic dimensions to some of the stories. My films, inevitably, when they go into release, get categorized as Westerns, in fact. Which is sort of interesting. But Mosher looks at the North Country as a frontier, and that interested me, partly because I was raised by a Texas grandmother that took me to Tennessee Williams pictures and Westerns when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. So in approaching it, it was a way to sort of reimagine my own experience of the place and the characters that I've come to know and, you know, the ways in which we all sort of root ourselves here. And so there's an element of fun in it as much as anything, and an ironic sense of humor that I've also found appealing.
Bill Kaufman wrote about you and your work in his article about regional filmmaking in Orion magazine, and pointed out that there are only 18 Vermont towns that have movie theaters. So how do you and other filmmakers get your movies in front of audiences?
Well, partly because this is a populist enterprise. We also commit ourselves to what we call a 100-town tour as the first wave of release for any of the films that we've made. They later go and get shown on Showtime or get DVD releases and the rest. But we focus in the first wave of playing small towns, and literally 100 towns in Vermont. So there are 18 towns that have theaters, which means we're playing fire stations and town halls and granges and school auditoriums. We also like to look at the region as more than Vermont. If you live in the Adirondacks, you tend to look at the North Country as a swath that goes, that starts in the Adirondacks and goes all the way through to the coast of Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of like that idea, that it's not broken down by state so much. And we certainly found a fabulous response in New Hampshire. Every audience is different. And my argument has been, in fact, that New England as a whole is a region that is worth exploring. And in fact, the next film that I make is planned to be a seaside story that will be shot in the Cape and Islands.
Mm-hmm.
I've told audiences that I've spent the last 25 years trying to convince southern New England that northern New England is relevant. And I'm about to do the opposite on the next picture, and we'll see if it works. But New England is a fascinating place, and actually, of all the regions in the country, polls have shown that people here feel more connected to place than in any other part of the country, strangely perhaps.
Uh-huh.
But in the West, towns were forming for the first time. When you deal with mythic and frontier themes in a New England picture, you're dealing with a place that has a history and a cultural tradition and a connection to family and small town.
Well, it's one thing to make a film about a place, but how about distributing? I'm wondering if there's any kind of tug for you between appealing to the regional audience while also pursuing national distribution. I mean, would you be satisfied if your films never played outside of these many venues you just mentioned in New England?
Well, I actually would be satisfied, because the primary resonance that I look for in releasing the work is really from the region. My films have always played beyond that. I mean, my first film, Where the Rivers Flow North, played 53 countries. Disappearances, the last picture, played 32 countries and played Showtime and Stars and other outlets. Part of the issue is that the economics for independent production don't work, and that's a whole other discussion that we could have. We don't have a problem reaching a national audience, but we do have a problem monetizing a national audience.
Mm.
So we've dramatically reduced the budgets for these films. We're also working in a new mode of production where Northern Borders was made by 20 professionals collaborating with 34 students from 15 different colleges that came together at Marlborough College, where I teach, to have a film intensive semester that included classes and workshops and visiting artists, but also pre-production and production of a professional feature film starring Bruce Dern and Genevieve Bujold, Academy Award nominated actors.
Well, you're kind of well known for being able to make quality films on fairly low budgets. And in addition to Bruce Dern and Genevieve Bujold, who you just mentioned, Martin Sheen has been in your films, Rip Torn. And here's a clip from the trailer for the 2006 film Disappearances, this starring Kris Kristofferson.
I gotta take him with me. Little scouting mission's good practice for a boy's age.
Do you forget how awful it was the last time you ran whiskey?
I guess I do.
And that's a clip from Jay Craven's film Disappearances. I'm speaking with Jay Craven, who's now a professor of film studies at Marlborough College in Vermont. So how important is it for a regional film to have a nationally recognizable face?
Well, it certainly helps, although the number one thing we really look for is, you know, actors who can truly dig into and enlarge these characters. But certainly, as in the earlier films, which were all budgeted at around $2 million, it was essential to have some recognized actors that would bring strength and visibility to the film as it began to navigate its way through video or television or foreign sales. And so Rip Torn and Martin Sheen and Kris Kristofferson and Michael J. Fox and others certainly came on board because they liked the roles, I mean, especially the lead roles. But also, in the case of Michael J. Fox and actors who lent their name and their support for smaller roles, they just liked the idea of what we were doing.
How do you fund your films?
Well, over the period of time that I've made films, I've raised investment money combined with nonprofit fundraising for my earlier features. where we were working on films of budgets up to $2 million. We were also able to get foreign sales advances based on casting of $500,000 in the case of my first film and $750,000 in the case of the second film. That money is largely gone, and it's only more difficult for independents to find financing. Most recently, with Northern Borders, the idea was to cut the budget to $500,000, huge cut. The college, Marlboro College, put up half that budget. And Kingdom County Productions, my nonprofit company, has raised the rest of it through contributions, grants, donations. It's slow going. It is hard work. But my ultimate goal really is to find a model for sustainable production, and that requires sustainable financing. And this new model is getting very close to what I believe is sustainable.
Your latest film, Northern Borders, was released earlier this year. And as you mentioned, a number of film students from schools around, I read about some who were in Massachusetts, Maine, worked on this film with you. And
yeah.
Now you're a professor at Vermont School and probably see a lot of kids who go to Marlboro or other places, then move on to L.A. or to New York in hopes of pursuing a career in film. What would you tell a student about the benefits of staying and working regionally?
Well, I think it's difficult to stay and work regionally, but I certainly hope that the experience they have working with us shows them that this is a path that they can follow and that they can, in fact, make it easier, perhaps, because my view is that the only sustainable independent film production culture imaginable would have to be regionally based cinema. Now, in Quebec, in fact, you've got the strongest indigenous film culture in the entire Western Hemisphere. You can make a $2 million film in Quebec and recoup the entire film in Quebec.
Mm.
And the same is true with European cinema, French cinema, Italian cinema. They have grown up for the same reasons, that if there were not a French cinema, the only film that would be seen would be commercial Hollywood film. So the French invest themselves in wanting there to be an indigenous French cinema that's telling French stories. Now, we don't have support structures like they do, but there's no difference in terms of wanting a New England cinema that can also become popular within New England as something that we possess in a very special way and helps to inform our understanding of who we are, where we are, and, you know, how we interact.
Jay Craven, professor of film studies at Marlboro College in Vermont and founder of the Catamount Arts Performing Arts Program, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
He's also the filmmaker behind a number of feature films set in or produced in New England. His film company is called Kingdom County Productions.
You can find a link to more information about Jay and his work at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, a publisher's cranky plea to would-be authors, stop writing. We'll hear why he thinks a year-long sabbatical from new books might be the solution to an overabundance of bad literature when word of mouth continues.